We're speaking now with our city administrator, Jennifer Stapleton. Jennifer, thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Yes, thank you for giving us this opportunity again.
And the main star of today's show, Amy Tweeten. Did I get your name right, Amy?
Yes, you did.
You're our new city planner.
Correct.
And the goal here today is to kind of introduce you to the town, to the people in town.
Okay,
so
I appreciate that.
That's kind of where I want to start. And tell us your story, Amy.
Okay. Well, I came here from Petoskey, Michigan, which is a resort community in northwest lower, so the very top of the mitten. I was city planner there for 16 years and loved the community, but always kind of thought that got to the point where I thought, I have another community in me. I've done what I can do for this community. And always kind of thought, well, maybe a resort community out west might be the next step. And so I'd been looking, and my fiance and I were both kind of ready for a change. And Sandpoint just came up in the American Planning Association advertising. Hadn't heard of it, but looked at it, and really what drew me to it is that not only did it have the mountains, but it had the lake, because I'm used to being around a lot of water. And it just, you know, size, character, all of it looks so similar to Petoskey that I was like, well, I'm gonna check it out. Mm-hmm. So that's how I came to know about Sandpoint. Didn't know anything about it before I applied, and had never been here before I came to interview. Mm-hmm.
Had you visited out west before, like been to Idaho or the Northwest or?
I'd been to the big cities, Portland, Washington, Denver, Boulder, but no, hadn't. And just had only been along the east side of Idaho, coming back from Yellowstone and the Tetons, going back to Bozeman.
Okay, you had a little taste of Idaho that way.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, we're, you know, of course, North Idaho, Southern Idaho, we're pretty different in, right, in the character of our landscapes here. And in discovering Sandpoint, I guess it was a scenario you saw that there was an opening, and then you decided to check the place out, and then it kind of looked good on Google Maps or something, and you thought you'd come and check us out?
Right.
Yeah.
That's essentially how it is. It's the internet's a marvelous thing, how much information you can find out.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a community, and it was also, you know, looking at the city website and the organizational structure, and just that a lot of planning had been done, that it just looked like a really interesting, well-run city.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been in town now?
I've been at City Hall for 3 weeks and in the community going on 4 weeks.
Okay, so what are first impressions? And given we're in winter too, so it's a little different than
our
summer.
But it is interesting because I'm used to winter. We get a lot of lake effect snow in northern Michigan, so that doesn't bother me at all. I actually like the warmer temperatures that you have, and that the snow. So I got here just as you got your second snowstorm, so you had a lot of snow, which I liked that. Winter here, it feels a lot like winter in Petoskey. It's not as busy, but you have the ski people coming, mm-hmm, and but it's beautiful, just mm-hmm as I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think an important thing to note, and Amy's very modest, so that's one thing people will find about her. She's really embraced the community. Even last weekend, she was volunteering at the Panada already, so she probably wouldn't just go out and put that out there, but she's
serving popcorn. What were you doing at the Panada?
I thought that's what I was going to be doing, but I actually was checking people in for the film festival.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, that's one way to start with a bang. Yeah. That was the Banff Film Festival?
Yeah, it was, yeah, which was wonderful.
Yeah, that's like a full house every year.
Yep.
Pandemic or not.
Okay,
well, tell us a little bit more about your experience in planning.
Yep. So in Petoskey, I was a city planner, but I was also zoning administrator, and I did a lot of the downtown revitalization and economic development role as well. I was there for 16 years. Before that, I worked for a suburb of Madison, Wisconsin, which is actually my hometown. So that was a very fast-growing community, whereas Petoskey was not fast-growing, had redevelopment going on, but didn't have much new development because it was pretty built out. So everything was redevelopment. But DeForest, I should say, had downtown revitalization going on and then a lot of residential and industrial development happening. So there I was also economic development, planning, and zoning. Also worked for a short time in Monroe, Michigan, which is southeast Michigan, and there I was a community planner, so did mostly planning. And I worked in South Bend, Indiana, in the Division of Redevelopment, so that was redevelopment and downtown revitalization as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, for folks that aren't familiar, walk us through, a day in the life of a city planner. What does the position entail?
There's the planning side and there's the zoning side, so there's long range planning and short range planning. And the long range planning obviously is the development of the comprehensive plan and long term visions and goals. And then there you have more short term plans if they're neighborhood plans. But on a day to day basis, there's much more on the code and administration side of it. So it's people coming in and asking for different permits or wanting to do different things with their property and looking at different ordinances to see, can they do it? How can they do it? So there's a lot of interaction with the public, with other departments, because we have to coordinate with, does the site have utilities? And the building side of it, what are potential hangups that this might cause? So there's a lot of coordination within City Hall, interaction with the public, and then the boards and commissions. So you've got the Planning Commission, and working with them and helping them going through both applications that come to them and then also just issues that have come up. In the administration of ordinances, there's always something you run across. It's like, well, this is kind of a stumbling block, so what do we need to change to make it so that we get what we want to get? So that's just bringing things forward to the commission for discussion and possible changes. Mm-hmm. But I'd say day to day, it's a lot of, it's interaction with the public and interaction with staff.
Mm-hmm. Never a boring day.
No 2 days are ever alike, and you don't know what's going to walk in the door.
That's, yeah. So how would you characterize the differences between the town where you've been planner for 16 years is Petoskey?
Petoskey.
Yeah, and Sandpoint in the community makeup and in the planning issues that we face. I mean, I have my own ideas about it. Obviously, Idaho is the fastest growing state in the country, and we're getting our share of that.
Right.
But what do you think would be different about the things you're going to have to deal with in Sandpoint?
Obviously, Sandpoint has its own ordinances, but Idaho laws are very different. But it is much more, it's the growth. And just like everywhere, Petoskey had the housing issue. We had some pressure for redevelopment, but again, because redevelopment is so much more costly than new development, it takes a certain person that is willing to do that. So that's the biggest difference is just the amount of growth and development that Sandpoint is facing, I would say.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps, Jeffrey, you could address this question. To one side we have Dover, the other side we have Ponderay. The footprint of Sandpoint to actually grow would be there might be some areas north of town that that the city limits themselves could grow?
There's potentially some areas north of town, but west of town too. So that's our area city impact. And so, for example, our area of city impact, it starts, if you're going to go west and south, it pretty much starts at Pine Street. And then we start to go north from there. Mm-hmm. So that west side, north, but to the far south, it would be down to Pine Street. So those are the opportunities in terms of expanding boundaries, but certainly what we have seen most significantly and was envisioned in our comp plan was infill and development in city limits. And that certainly is happening in spades. Just, you know, to give some sense of the volume of work, not only Amy, but our building group is dealing with as well. We have about just under 1,400 units in our pipeline. And in terms of what that potentially can, residential units alone, that's not commercial, that's not industrial. And if you take census figures of about 2.3 people per resident or per unit, I mean, our potential is that's over 3,000 people coming into our community. So our development activity is really substantial. But with that said, we are starting to run out of land and have certainly had the issues about development, because where we have the most vacant land is around the airport area. Mm-hmm. So, and those land use and safety issues around the airport have been a hot topic for us for a few years.
Yeah. And very recently, in fact.
Yeah, right? Very recently, in
because
fact.
Because the city council had to make a decision about a proposed housing development right there within the impact area of the airport.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And but with that, when we look at our pipeline of what's coming through and this almost 1,400 units, I mean, a lot of these are by right. So people aren't necessarily going to see public hearings associated with these. And it's substantial. I mean, just if we look at multifamily alone, multifamily that is in our pipeline is over 440 units. And I know those that are really concerned about workforce housing and how do we keep people here, certainly that could contribute to addressing some of those issues. And then, and Amy could talk about this further, we have a couple cottage developments that are coming through, and they will be our first cottage developments. So I think it's two of them, Amy?
I'm just coming up to speed on those. I know I'm familiar with the one on Division, I believe. But yeah, that's just another way to increase density in infill single family areas.
Can you define cottage development? I'm really not familiar with that term. That's like, I assume small units close together or something?
Yeah, it's multiple single family dwellings on a single lot.
Okay.
Versus maybe just a single family dwelling and an accessory dwelling. Mm-hmm.
It's
smaller. I think they're a maximum of 1,000 square feet.
I see.
It's been allowed under our code. We've had a cottage ordinance for some time. And the idea was to create, again, those opportunities for the variety of housing and some affordable, more affordable kind of, again, workforce housing in our mix, and we haven't had anybody take advantage of that until just recently. So mm-hmm. There's a couple of those. One that we're in the process or have issued building permits on already.
Mm-hmm. And the other tool that people are using, because again, when you're dealing with infill lots, they don't fit the mold necessarily, is the use of PUDs. And that's something that the city hasn't had for several years, but we have some people interested in doing that because it just gives you a little more flexibility of how you develop a property.
Yeah, PUD is a public utility district.
Planned unit development.
Sorry. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And those will go through planning and zoning. And I think next month you're planning on a training for planning and zoning too, because we haven't seen any of those for a while.
Right. Just what is a plan unit development? How does it give flexibility to the developer? And then what's the trade-off for certain things?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So housing, of course, is a big issue for us right now. How quickly will the 1,400 units actually get built so that that can help ease the housing situation?
So we kind of break ours into three categories. So under construction or approved, we have 229 new residential units that either we've issued permits for or they're pending certificate of occupancies. So, I mean, they're well into our process. And then we've got 233 new residential lots that are in preliminary or final platting stage. We've got pending permits that we're reviewing right now, building permits. 206 multifamily units are actively under review right now. 42 single family units are actively under review. And then we have what we call our coming soon. So these aren't somebody who's come in and said, I'm interested in doing a project and kind of kicking the tires. These are ones, there have been multiple conversations. We've seen initial concepts or had a pre-application meeting, and that's where we start to get into the 600 to 700 more units that fall in that area. One thing we talked about yesterday, we had strategic planning with the city council, and people are so anxious to not only hear that there is some development to address this housing issue, but also, you know, like the University Place, for example, we over a year past when that was approved, and right now there is a house there, and people are anxious, when do we see that the rest of the development coming along? And Christine Kuhlman, our building official, did a great briefing with our council yesterday at strategic planning about really some of the barriers to moving housing along quickly. And, you know, as we're all talking about on all fronts, supply, and supply is definitely an issue. So the ability to get lumber packages and things like that. And then she also had a really good briefing on just how difficult and the costs and the time to develop land here because of our high water table and our slopes that we have with our infill lots. So there's definitely some challenges. We're seeing people take them on, but it delays the process, I think, from what people would like to see in many mm-hmm. cases.
Mm-hmm. Amy, so housing, big issue. Mm-hmm. I'm curious how Petoskey, Michigan, what their median or average cost of a home there to purchase is compared to Sandpoint, because Sandpoint's has shot up
a ton in the
last couple of years.
But I would say the median, and you know, price, COVID affected prices everywhere, because similar to Sandpoint, we get a lot of second homeowners, people thinking they can buy places and rent them out short term, but maybe they find out they can't. Median, I think, was up to about 450.
Okay, yeah, and we're a little above that now.
Yeah, we're about 550 now.
Yeah, that is a crazy number, I'll tell you. Yeah. As someone who's lived here for a long time, and somebody who works in the local economy too, that's well outside of what the local economy wage structure can really support.
Right.
What other, Amy, from you sizing it up, what other issues do you see that you might be wrestling with in 2022?
Well, it'll be work on the comprehensive plan. And I know I know the Planning Commission and City Council are all very eager to get that updated. And that's going to be, you know, there obviously was a lot of work put into it before COVID. So hoping we can pick up where we left off and finish that, but that's going to be a real emphasis for the year.
So there were a lot of public comment periods and workshops that took place with the comprehensive plan, and then it kind of ground to a halt due to COVID. Mm-hmm. Will there be more workshops? Do you think we need to revisit that to just take everybody? And it seems like the market's changed since then too.
It has, and I don't know that we have to 100% revisit, but we might want to get some additional input or just, you know, clarify that this is the input we heard and is this still what the input is. Mm-hmm. But I don't necessarily, the community maybe has changed, but I think people come here because they like what it is. And I know, again, I'm new, but I know in Petoskey, we always said people argue because they care so deeply for the community. And I think resort communities are like that. People really, really care. So they get involved and they want to make sure that their voices are heard.
Mm-hmm. A couple of different things that we've talked about in revisiting this is, number one, we've got an independent group that does studies to inform comprehensive plans, housing plans, and things like that, actually doing a housing demand and forecasting study, as well as looking at land use and economic factors. We had some other things that issues that came up before council. We had a rezone request for some industrial land over by the airport to rezone that to multifamily, and council had decided not at that time they didn't approve the, it was actually an appeal on a planning and zoning commission, and ultimately council did not agree to rezone that property. But a land use study is going to help us really understand what is the forecasted demand for land use? What are we really seeing in growth? Because as a smaller community, we're so reliant on census estimates or census data that's a year or two after it's happening. So it doesn't reflect certainly what we've experienced the last couple of years. I think that, so we expect to have that data and information in mid-spring, about the time that we're kicking off the comp plan update. I do think that we will see us going out and having some community workshops again, because when you're, truth be told, our update on our comp plan, where we were in that process, we were getting ready to move into looking at the ACI and land use maps. There really weren't many changes in the comp plan itself. But when you're envisioning what growth can look like at a community that is growing at a very slow pace, we've averaged 1 to 1.5% a year, and then all of a sudden we're seeing all kinds of growth happening, you know, we really need to revisit some of this, because I think some things that people had envisioned, now are they happy with that vision or not? They're living the vision now. So I think, well, you'll see us do some community workshops, and I doesn't necessarily mean things will change, but it definitely will be an opportunity of what this envisions that we're living. Is this what the community wants? So I think you'll see us have several community workshops going into spring and summer, and hopefully we get out of this COVID surge and people come out and we get good participation for that.
Mm-hmm. So other planning and zoning issues, how about the area around the airport? That's been somewhat contentious about how properties right adjacent to the airport might be developed because of the potential safety hazards that are proposed. And I think, correct me on this, but the comp plan kind of spells out how that land should be utilized.
Well, we added the airport chapter to the comp plan, so that addressed, you know, recommendations around land use with the airport. One thing we have identified in preparing for these public hearings around the airport is that, and you'll recall this, Chris, that some years ago the city used to own the airport, and the city transferred the airport over to Bonner County. Well, if you go back and look at that resolution between the two entities at that time, it stated that we would work together and develop an MOU around land use around the airport and protection of that airport, and probably other things came up and that didn't happen. We weren't seeing a lot of development in that area. And so that is definitely a topic of discussion we need to pick up in conjunction with the county. We've already had preliminary conversations about needing to do that, where there can be clarity and our jurisdictions can work together to get clarity around some of this. And certainly it's a health and safety issue. On the other side, our comp plan envisions the health and safety protection around the airport, but also, again, infill. So what is the right balance? And hopefully this will give us some more clarity as well. So I know that's a high priority for us.
Job wouldn't be any fun if there weren't a few knots to untangle.
Oh, yeah.
There's lots of knots to untangle.
Amy, anything else that you want to tell us about being new on board and stepping into the planner role here? How about your philosophy towards how you do your job?
I try to get it so that, you know, I thought the comprehensive plan would be done when I started, but it's not yet. So having that very clear comprehensive plan and then making sure, I think my philosophy is, you know, always tying back to that. You know, if we're doing sub-area plans or we're looking at, you know, we hear housing. What does that look like? And do we have the implementation tools we need to get it? Or what do we need to change to get to the point of implementing what we think we want? So that's always a lot of tweaking of ordinances, and that just takes time. But the comprehensive plan is your long-term guide, and then you have all these tools to implement it. But to always, when people ask why you're doing what you're doing, it's because this was the vision of the community.
And that's what the comprehensive plan is intended to express.
Correct.
Yeah. So, okay, well, we have a few minutes to talk about other things going on at the city, because there's always other things going on, Jennifer.
There is always other things going on.
Why don't you let us know some things that you think people should be knowing about?
Well, this is more of a kind of a status update than anything. Council had approved that land swap between the city and the Cox family for the RV park and the grassy area in front of the resort. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to be clear about this again, from the sidewalk all the waterfront, the public still owns that. But we also gained the waterfront where we've got the marina, the City Beach Marina over next to the RV park. We actually never owned that waterfront, and the public does now. We filed the deeds last Friday, so that exchange has happened.
So it's official? It's done?
It is official. Okay. That is official. So the next official announcement will be we're meeting with the hotel operations about the RV park management, and what I suspect is we'll be announcing the changes and reservations for the RV park through the city.
Just for the near term?
We'll have to remain to be seen. So the RV park area, definitely this year, we plan to operate the RV park, and the benefit with that is it's a revenue source too into our mm-hmm. park system. So that RV park, when we had looked at the numbers, it was netting about $100,000 a year, and that will be investments into our park system. You know, as what's envisioned there in our Parks and Rec Master Plan is that becomes the parking area and the realignment of the boat launch, and we haven't given up on that vision. In fact, we're participating in a grant meeting on that here in the next week. There's an opportunity to keep RV parking there during off season for boating, that's a possibility. So something I expect we'll be having public discussions about. There's a lot of funding for RV parks, so there could be a way that, you know, when the water levels have dropped and you can't use the boat launch, we could allow for RVs to be in those spaces and again generate revenue that supports that park. Mm-hmm. Nothing's been decided, but that will certainly be a conversation with the public. And other work that we're doing is really looking at our utilities. Looking forward again to moving forward with wastewater treatment plant. We need to get a new plant built, but beyond that, we really need to do some further work and assessments on impacts of this growth on our collection and distribution system for particularly wastewater. So there's the plant, and then there's the pipes that go from your house to the plant. And you see across the state with the growth, as you mentioned, cities are having to do moratoriums because their utilities can't serve it. We are not at that point, but we need to take a good look at how much we can serve. And in the midst of all of this growth and all this development that I just told you was coming through just in our city limits, remember, particularly on our water system, we're all also serving Kootenai, Ponderay, and in unincorporated Bonner County. So maybe a good discussion, utility discussion for another show. We do have a new utilities director, Greg Lanning, which comes to us with tons of experience. And utilities are a hot topic for us at the city amidst all of this growth. And people don't think about that because it's underground and not something you see. But we have to have the ability to serve this growth. So,
well, one new thing in the city is your city rec director, Kim
Woodruff,
is retiring.
He is retiring, so, and yeah, about 35 years of an institution walking out our door at the end of this month.
Are you looking to hire right now, or what's...
No, we're really kind of taking a pause and really reassessing what we do with our park system. You know, we have Maeve, who is our Parks Planning and Development Manager. So she's kind of the vision for development of any facilities in our parks, as well as development of future parks and how we use the land. And we still have Jason Wiley with us, been with us about 15 years. He's our recreation manager and has done a good job in that area. And I think he sees some future opportunities for recreation development, particularly as Maeve's planning. You know, it gives us an opportunity to maybe look at different types of recreation we haven't done before through the program, and our maintenance crew's strong. So, you know, do we need another parks director? Parks is also responsible for managing our facilities and our land, and we have a need for managing our equipment and our vehicles across the city. So I don't know, do we go the direction of an asset manager? We're kind of trying to figure that out instead of just status quo, looking at, again, in our new integrated model here at the city, how do we... what gives us the greatest efficiencies and efficacy, and it creates opportunities for employees to move up to future opportunities. So we'll see. We will definitely be posting something in the near future, but we're kind of taking a time out and taking a look at
doing an assessment.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else that you want to bring up as to city business that residents might want to know about?
If people haven't been into City Hall, we finished a remodel here at City Hall.
I'll say I just witnessed it walking in the door, and it's really quite a bit different.
Yeah, I think the public will be really pleased. You walk in, you see a person. We are cross-trained across all of our divisions. So even though you walk in and you see a sign, here is Public Works, here is Planning, here's Utilities, we are working on cross-training that if planning has stepped away, somebody in utilities could help you at least get to the right person. So that cross-training, that efficiency, and really a government where you feel like you're getting services coming in, it's certainly made better working conditions for staff, and we're underway with a remodel that is much long overdue for police. So that's underway as well, and will be done this summer.
Okay. Well, Amy Tweeten, new city planner, anything you want to put out before we say goodbye?
Just really looking forward to learning more about the community, and really happy and appreciative to be here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Amy Tweeten, new Sandpoint City planner, and Jennifer Stapleton, Sandpoint City administrator, thank you for taking time to talk with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.